declare Christian, and if you had known when you were appointed about all the things that have been happening, certainly in the last week or two, do you think you would have maybe thought twice about taking the job?
I think, thank you, Phil. I think nobody would have expected what we've had to deal with in the last 18 months. You know, everything on top of the governance review, obviously, is hugely important, and that has, you know, the department has undertaken that. But clearly there's, you know, the public is speaking. Tim Wald has spoken with that governance review to say that they want change, and they want to be able to see tangible changes that will actually make a difference. I wouldn't say that the Manx Care Act or Manx Care is something that is incorrect, but I think that we need to improve on it, and that's what the governance review is really looking at. But yeah, you're right. I think I don't think it's certainly not something I would have expected to be going through. But we have a great team, a great executive and non-executive team within Manx Care, and it is business as usual. Wendy Reid, Professor Reid, has very kindly offered to stay for a further 6 months, which we are very grateful for, and that will obviously see us a transition through through an election period as well. And I think that really shows to the strength of the woman that she is. She has been dedicated to the Isle of Man, but she understands, as she has said, that she also, you know, she agrees that, you know, it's time for and that opportunity for change, but she will assist us and help us lead through that change. And I'm grateful, very grateful. I know the Chief Minister is as well. But it's you know, we have this opportunity, and this opportunity is in front of us, and I'm ready for that challenge.
So the chair has gone. The chief executive has also, well, when I say gone, they've both tendered their resignation. What's going on with Manx Care?
So as I said, I think you know, both are very understanding. When you think about it, Theresa Cope has been in position for 5.5 years, and you know, most CEOs of NHS trusts in the UK probably would stay around about that period of time. And it's you know, into having conversations with her, it's the right timing. But both, as I said, have committed to seeing through periods of time to help support us. And obviously, we're already implementing our next plan for the CEO. Looking at quickly what we can do there. I'll be announcing that in the next coming weeks. We, as I said before, we've got a great non-executive who you know, we absolutely fully support. And also, we've got very new members in the non-executive, in the NEDs. We've got some amazing, talented local people within that that I'm really looking forward to working with and bringing forward the us working closely together with Manx Care.
So the departure of both the chair and the chief exec at about the same time, is that just coincidental?
In terms of timing, I think they both obviously had conversations with each other, and both, you know, Wendy has said that she came in to support Theresa, and you know, that's a decision that she's made after Theresa announcing her departure. So that's, you know, I respect those decisions.
Why is it that a significant number, at least, of medics, particularly at the hospital, seem to be far from satisfied with the way Manx Care operates?
I think what we have to remember is there is a huge workforce at Manx Care. So not just the doctors. We've also got social care, mental health. We've got a wide organisation. So whilst absolutely it's really important that we, and fundamentally this is the school of thought that I come from, we must listen and we must respect those colleagues because they are subject matter experts. That's why we employ them. But, you know, there is a greater, wider support and has been a wider support for that management and for the Manx Care Board.
And, of course, the other thing which is announced the day we're speaking on the Wednesday, the other thing that has been announced is the overspend. And, you know, I seem to remember Probably every year that the overspend comes to Tynwald, we're told, but don't worry, this is the last time. How are we coming back to this?
Yeah, I think I don't want to obviously negate giving Tynwald members the opportunity to debate this when it comes into Tynwald. But the one thing I would say, just as a general principle, we're 25-26. A lot of the risks were highlighted in the operational plan, and from an early stage, we were identifying that there were financial risks and unfunded areas. And those, as much as Max Care tried to mitigate that, that did happen. What I would say is, when I do bring forward the supplementary vote, I will be talking about this year, because fundamentally we've made a great deal of commitments about the 404. And also there's a 10 million contingency held within Treasury for that. And we have implemented a great deal of rigour around that with Manx Care. And I am very, to not go over the 404, that is absolutely the mandate that we are setting. Treasury gave us a more realistic budget for this year, and that's why there have been no risks in terms of, they've been identified in this operational plan and in this mandate for this year, because every single item within that mandate, we wanted to be, I said it's not going in unless it's funded, unless we have that funding for them. And that was a very different way that we approached last in 25-26. We approached it, in a hopeful way, we might get funding for these areas, and that didn't come to fruition.
And of course, the difference between health and, say, DOI. I mean, DOI, if the Lucas are coming over budget, they just don't maintain buildings or fix roads. But if someone is in urgent need of treatment, you can't say, well, actually, you have to wait till the next financial year.
Yeah, I think that's where, we're dealing with healthcare and people and services that are really crucial to this island. And you're absolutely right, Phil. It's a different moral question, or do you stop some services to come within budget? And that was fundamentally, a decision that we were reluctant to take in that last year. But as I said, what's really important is that when we do come back to debate this, when we do bring forward the supplementary vote, that we communicate to the public about what rigour and assurances and financial control that we have for this year, so that the public get that assurance.
And I suppose the final question really is, in terms of public perception, members of the public will be aware that Manx Care, over the course of this Parliament, over the last 4-5 years, has received substantially above inflation increases in budget. What would you say to people who are saying, well, where's all this money going?
So I would just clarify, so when you say in terms of substantially over inflation, which inflation are you looking at locally? Because Manx Care don't operate in that sense where drug costs are local drug costs. They are very much the UK drug costs and further wide. So obviously those pressures are outside of their ability to control. So whilst we apply a local inflation rate to across all of the areas and the departments, Manx Care is functioning a lot of their services outside of that. And we've had a great deal of pressures, high inflation. Pay has been a real demand on, not just in healthcare, but in also in other areas, and that makes up, I think it's something like 80% of the budget. So it's a great deal of pressure, pay pressure, especially in a high inflation years that we've had after COVID. I think that's been one of the reasons. But my job is to make sure, as I've said, I would rather come to Tynwald, which is what I did when I brought the mandate in, to say this is what we can afford with the 404. And, you know, we have got a better idea in terms of what levers we can slow down as opposed to stopping services. So, for example, you know, we might be introducing a new service in this year, but we might delay that a couple of months and be very open and transparent about that to say, actually, if we don't start something in September where we were planning to, and we maybe start that in December, that means we're going to come in on budget. We know that that's not ideal, but I think the public need to hear those conversations, and we would bring an amendment to the mandate to communicate that. So we're far more proactive in how we do things.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.